Good morning. Today's reading is from John 16:33 and Philippians 4, verse 4 to 9. I have told you these things so that in me you may have peace. In this world you will have trouble, but take heart, I have overcome the world. And in Philippians 4, verses 4 to 9. Rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again, rejoice. Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your heart and your mind in Christ Jesus. Finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. Whatever you have learned or received or heard from me or seen in me, put it into practice, and the God of peace will be with you. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, for gathering us once again to open your word, Lord, and to hear your instructions, Lord. I pray, Lord, that you may open our hearts and our minds and our ears today to take what we learn and to apply it in our lives, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you. I had my message for a week, looking at it, changing my mind a few times about what I was going to present, and then I started praying once again, like every week, that God will remove anything that is mine and is not according to His will from my mind and heart, and speak to each one of us. And then this morning I was saying, if I speak, and I'm going to speak about how to stay positive in a negative world, then it will be like I'm talking about how negative these Christians are and we should be positive. The other side of that coin is, of course, what I'm going to speak of. And then I said, what are some examples of negativeness by which we are surrounded and we must be positive? And I was sort of, while Elise was singing, I was looking down like that, and I saw my tie. By the way, a young lady here gave it to me a couple of weeks ago. She came back from vacation, and she said, I saw your name written all over this. And I was looking for Joseph. I couldn't find Joseph. All I saw was, for God so loved the world that He gave His one and only Son, for whosoever believes in Him, not to perish, but have everlasting life. And I said, everybody now is going to be staring at me, just reading this, so I better say it from the pulpit. And then it struck me, and I said, boy, this is what is being positive in a negative world. The world was lost, full of sin, and this happened just about a couple of minutes ago, and I said, Jesus came to this earth, God sent His one and only Son to this negative world where He was rejected, to do something very positive, and that is to bring the light. And this morning I was looking what negative actually is in the dictionary. And it says, negative is saying no. Well, of course, we know that. And then the other meaning was opposed to positive. I said, yeah, that's what negative is. We live in a negative world, and I'm going to explain why I'm saying this. And first I would like to read that verse again, John 16:33. Jesus said, I have told you these things so that in me you may have peace. In this world you will have trouble. It doesn't say you may have trouble. It says you will have trouble, but take heart, be encouraged, courageous. I have overcome the world. There are many problems in this negative world today. And last night, watching the news, I saw what happened in China. Someone, they said a deranged person picked up a knife and went and killed someone, and a gentleman, and injured his wife. She's in critical condition. And then he jumped over that museum or whatever it was and killed himself. Well, that's not something good. That's negative. Three people, at least, have been, two people died, and one is critically injured, and the families are suffering. And then I turned to something else, and there were other killings, another riot, another buses falling off the cliff, and things like that. And I said, okay, I'm going to go to for a few minutes to CNN and see what's happening. And there was a documentary, and it was about Egypt, my wife's place, and what's happening there with the religious people in Egypt. And someone made a, the leader of one of the groups, and I'm not getting into politics here, nor am I trying to say who is right, who is wrong, but I'm just going to say what he said. I'm going to quote him and then go on to the message. He said, the conflict between Christians and Islam and Muslims will only end when one of the two dies, finishes. And I said, what a negative way of living. And who am I to know the details about politics? But I know what the Bible says. These things are expected. We are all affected by the world's trouble and negativeness. Violence, wars, crime, addictions, home breakings. Today, more than ever before, and I'm afraid it's going to get even worse, families are breaking down. The number of broken families is staggering. Family, dysfunctional families, single mothers, single, some single dads with children, struggling. This is not a positive world. Even though some people, when I was a child, every time my mother said or my dad said, don't do this, don't do that, I said, what a negative people Christians are. And I thought, always thought, as a young boy and then a teenager, that the church was a place where you go, so they tell you not to do this, not to do that, not to wear this, not to lie, not to cheat, not to eat too much. And I said, what a negative place. But of course, when I grew up and I went in the Air Force, it became worse, because they've been telling me how to sleep and how to eat and how to go to the bathroom and all these things. So I said, boy, this is worse than the church. But you know what? The world is full of that. And then when I got married and my wife started telling me, I said, there is no out of this. And now my children tell me what to do. I'm just kidding you, okay? Negative is not, is something that people think is bad. It is bad when it's a no to something good, but it's positive when you say it's no to something bad. And this morning we'll be looking at some of these things that the Bible says. For example, sickness, hospitals, prisons, cemeteries, are some of the negative things in life we all face and have to deal with. But in spite of all these negative things around us, we must not be negative people. And yesterday at the men's fellowship, we sort of joined to sympathize with two families. Greg's grandmother died a few days ago, or a week or so ago, and then Quinton's mother died in the States, and he had to go there to bury his mom. And death is all around us, we said, and life is so fragile. So life itself is ready to be treated as something positive or negative. It all depends what we choose to make of life. We must not be negative people. Apostle Paul, writing to the believers, said, "Finally, my brothers, rejoice in the Lord." The Greek word is charete, be glad, happy. Now, you say, how can I be happy when I just lost my job? Well, I'm not going to take time to say what else could have happened that would be worse, but God has His own plans with your life. We must be rejoicing people. And unfortunately, the problem with Christians today, with us, with me starting, is sometimes somebody looks at me and I look so miserable that he says, I don't want to be a Christian. And we complain so much. And in my family, you will hear this all the time about my family. The best examples I have are from my own family. My wife will be complaining about being so hot, and I'll be complaining for being so cold. So there are always things that we may disagree, but even there we must be positive and thank God. And then on the other hand, my daughter would be saying, be glad, Dad. It could have been snowing and ice or whatever, something like that. And just try to make me feel positive at that moment. We must focus on positive thoughts and praise. Things that are true, the Bible says, things that are true, things that are honest, just, pure, lovely, admirable. These things are not negative things, but the world will make you feel that you are a negative person because you are being true. When they tell you cheat on your taxes and you say, no, I don't. That's negative being, you're not listening. When it says honest or just, all these things can be taken out of context and misused. If there is anything praiseworthy, then praise. Yet often Christians are negative and complaining. How can we stay positive in a negative world? We must respond to God's love. And in Philippians 4 verses 6 and 7 we read, "Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and petition with thanksgiving, present your request to God, and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus." God loves us in spite of the circumstances. And again, that is something you say, oh yeah, it's easy for you to say, you got a house, you got your car is paid, you have a job, you have a family, what about me? I don't have a job. And you know, everyone has a little angle, a little point of view to sort of complain or say something that doesn't sound positive. God loves us in spite of circumstances. So we must also, in spite of our circumstances, try and be positive so others can benefit from our joy and happiness and positive way of life rather than bring them down with us. God's love is shown in creation. Look at creation. It's wonderful. Someone was brought a lot of stuff to his home, our next door neighbor, and there was a big flower pot, and everything was dry. And I said, what is this? He says, oh, you want it? You can have it. And I could see with my expert eyes, of course, that there were little buds around there. And I said, sure, I'll take it. I brought it home, cleaned it, watered it. And yesterday, Margaret was looking at those beautiful leaves, and she says, what a beautiful leaf, what beautiful leaves. Is this the one that you just, or not you just, but the neighbor gave you? And I said, yes. So that's how it is. Even when everything looks so dry and so finished and so dead, you must expect something wonderful coming out from that. God's love is revealed in the Bible. I mean, creation is one example I gave. The Bible is the other, the Word of God. And for thousands of years, this Bible has helped people. Of course, those who reject it will never know what this Bible can do. Those who accept it, or at least give it a chance and read it and learn from it, they know that their lives will never be the same after they read the Bible, they read the Bible, and accept the Creator as their own Creator. God's love is clearly seen at the cross. Now, as I said, the Thai says, God so loved the world that He gave His one and only Son, for whosoever believes in Him not to perish, shall not perish, but have everlasting life. Well, if that's not a positive thing on God's part, then what is positive? God's love is demonstrated through answers of prayers. You know, every Tuesday, and if you never been to our Bible study, please come and join us and see what happened. Every Tuesday, we split into smaller groups to pray for each other. But before we do that, we ask for prayer requests. Then we get a list sometimes, there are some in our prayer Bible study group that have a piece of paper and they write the names. And then when we're praying, I can see them sometimes looking like that. I can see them looking at that list and praying for these people. We do that because we believe in prayer and because we believe that God answers prayers. We must reprogram our thinking. We are constantly bombarded by negative messages. It doesn't make you any happier when you know that eventually either the Christians or some other religious group are going to fight and you're going to, or the unemployment rate, or that the economy is going down, or the oil is, the prices are going up, and the houses, the value of houses in Vancouver is dropping by 30%. All these things are so troubling that you lose your sleep if you are involved in these things. But still you can remain positive by thinking of God, the Creator, who is in the business of sustaining and repairing and mending and helping people. The downside of this age of instant communication is being aware of the world's problems continually. In the old days, when something would happen in China, it would take someone to write it down, type it, and then maybe fax it. No, they had no faxes then. They had to telegraph it or, you know, like send it, and then it would take maybe 2, 3, 4 days until it came here to us. Now, while the activity is taking place, someone picks up his cell phone, goes like that, and you can see it in New York or in Montreal. This instant communication, you would have thought, would make people happier. Being aware of the world's problems continually does not make you any happier. All violent acts are reported to us immediately. There are psychological dangers of constant negative input. Also, there are physical dangers of constant negative input. That affects our soul, but also affects our body. That is why it is so important to have faith-building input. Something that will, in spite of all these pressures, in spite of losing your job, in spite of having to write exams tomorrow or whenever, in spite of your boyfriend or girlfriend leaving you, in spite of your husband not respecting you or your wife, with all these problems, you must... we were teasing the other day each other, and we said, if you are Greek or Armenian or from the Middle East, you get excited, but if you are from Britain, English, you have this a stiff upper lip, and you just sort of, but nevertheless, inside, the same problem goes on. The inner conflicts or the anxiety attacks. That is why it is so important to have faith building input. And I believe faith building input is talking with someone, another believer over the phone, having a cup of coffee with someone else, getting together, going someplace together, or coming to the church, or coming to the Bible study, prayer, or reading, whatever builds your faith, that's what you should be doing. We have to be selective in our activities during the day. Developing a devotional life, daily Bible reading and prayer, starting the day and remaining thankful to God. Thanksgiving is what keeps you going. Trusting God will help you come through. And I know religious activities are great, and a lot of, I come from a country, I was born in Greece, as you know, most of you know, and religion was everything. I went to become an electronics engineer, and they were teaching us religion about the church. So religion is in everything. But nevertheless, and yet, because religion was being taught, didn't mean that people were happier and got closer to God. It became a way of doing things and cultural things that were expected from people. Trusting God will help you come through. And if you don't believe in God, or if someone does not believe in God, he or she has nothing. It's like drowning in a lake or in a river and shouting for help, and there is no one to help because there is no one around there. But what I see in the Bible and what I've experienced in my life is that when I was drowning in a lake of doubts and problems and difficulties to believe in God. After all, I couldn't see God, I couldn't touch God, I couldn't hear God. God never spoke to me. And yet my parents were telling me, and the church was telling me, and the Bible was telling me that there is God. And then while I was lost and didn't know what to do, I said, please help someone. God help me. And He reached down and strengthened my faith and helped me find it. We must recognize the best in other people. I think that's very difficult. We must learn to recognize the best in other people. And yesterday we were looking at some things, and the first word that came up for discussion was competition. And one of the brothers said, well, I don't believe in competition because we are equal and we must respect each other. And I agree with him, but at the same time, if you look at the Olympics, millions of dollars or billions are being spent around the world to compete. And so how can... Yesterday they asked the American swimmer about the other American swimmer, what does he think? And he wanted to be very politically correct. And well, he said he's a good swimmer. We'll see what happens. And you know what? We can't see the best in other people. We would rather see the best in us and tell others how good we are. But the moment you point your finger to the other person and you say, he's bad, three fingers are pointing at you saying how bad you are. But the moment you point your finger and you say how good that person is, three fingers are pointing at you and are saying how good you are. Now, I'm not saying we should be doing that, but that's how it is in reality. Let us look at the people who need spiritual and physical help rather than the faults and shortcomings of those around us who are trying hard or are unable to do better. I believe the churches have become a place where we judge everyone, we judge everything, and we always elevate ourselves and we make others look worse. And I'm not saying there shouldn't be any discernment. I believe we as Christians, we should discern and know what is right and what is wrong. The Bible says that not only we should not participate in sins or evil activities, but we should expose sin and separate. That means that when there is sin and there is something that is wrong, we should see it, acknowledge it, and even expose it, the Bible says. But that does not mean judge people and throw them out of the church or accuse them of something that they're not guilty of because we feel that way. All people are imperfect, except you maybe. But we all are imperfect, the Bible says. There are no perfect people or churches, no perfect pastors and leaders. Yet people do have many positive and praiseworthy things to be discovered. Apostle Paul, writing to the believers in Philippi, said, I thank my God every time I remember you. Philippians 1:3. He actually chose to remember the positive things about them. And of course, that's how we do all the time, right? Well, most of the time we acknowledge something good from others or in others. But sometimes we are tempted to only see the negatives. And the Bible says, as Paul says, I chose, or he chose, to remember the good things about other people. Paul pleads with the Philippians to do as he was doing. Paul was always reaching out to the lost and confused. And I believe if we did these as believers, if we reached out, look, first of all, to reach out, you must be looking around you. If we are only gazing, well, looking at ourselves, and we don't care about others, then you will never know who needs your help. But if you are on your guard and you are watching and saying, Elise needs some help, or Rita, or Greg, or someone, I see him down, maybe I should give him a call, maybe I should invite him for a cup of coffee or go out. Anything to cheer him up will be appreciated, I'm sure. Cheer him or her up will be appreciated. Paul was always teaching out of the lost, out to the lost and confused. There are many who are confused. They're not necessarily, they're not rejecting God. They're not rejecting Jesus or the Bible, but they are confused and they may need your help. They may need to hear from you your angle or your understanding, and when you explain it, you may be able to help them find the truth. He loved souls, and his desire was their salvation. Bringing people to Christ brings positive joy to all. I don't know about you, but my wife and I, in a business, and we sell stuff, and we buy things, and we repair things, and we are happy when a customer comes in, and we make a deal, and it's finished, and it's profitable. But I've said this to my wife, and my wife has told me many times, when someone comes and starts talking to us about things, and I start witnessing to the person, as a matter of fact, the last thing I did yesterday night, before we closed the store, was a lady with a nice little boy, a beautiful looking boy, that came to buy something, and then we started talking, and then I gave her a New Testament, and I gave her a couple of tracts, and then I started sharing with her about my testimony. Well, I went home, and I was the happiest person, because I was able to reach out and bring some hope, and give something to this lady and her little boy that may help her deal with life and reality. Faith in Christ enables us to be positive in this negative world. A positive life and testimony will bring others to Jesus, the joy giver. May God help you stay positive in this negative world today. We'll pray. Father in heaven, we thank you. We thank you for giving us hope and joy, and for giving us the joy of our salvation. Lord, I pray for those who have never invited you in their hearts, and they never have never experienced the joy of being found and rescued and have been given a hope and a meaning for their life. I also pray for each one of us who have accepted you and have become your followers, your disciples. Lord, just strengthen each one of us and help us to be good examples to others and be positive force, a positive force in a negative environment that we may find ourselves in. And Lord, I pray that the Holy Spirit may touch each one of us this morning and enable us to leave this building, leave this place, knowing that you are in control and that you may use us, or you will use us, for something positive in somebody else's life. I ask these things in your blessed name. Amen.